We are now joined by a wonderful author, and again, it's a book published by McFarland Publishing. Absolutely check their site out. It's terrific. The book is The 1957 San Francisco Seals, End of an Era in the Pacific Coast League, and very endearing to so many people here in the Bay Area. P.J. Dragseth is the author. P.J., nice to have you with us.
Thank you very much, Marty. It's nice to be here.
Yeah, it's great to have you on with us. I've enjoyed the book immensely, and I know you know our good friend Gary Hughes is a great friend of the show.
Right, and you know what? Gary Hughes and I sat about four rows apart during that 1957 season. He's about 10 years older than I, or he was then. He isn't anymore.
I hope he still is.
But anyway, we never met until years later when I started writing about Scouts. How about that?
Very good. Hey, why is this team so well remembered after all these years?
Well, what is it
about the San Francisco Seals? And, you know, part of our greatest, I'll tell you this just before you answer, we do a greatest game in Giants franchise history. And we do New York Giants or San Francisco. And today, I will let everyone know, it's going to be the opening of Candlestick Park in 1960, which, of course, came after the Giants left Seal Stadium, where they had played for 2 years. But go ahead. Why is this such a hot topic for everyone who lives and remembers the team in the Bay Area?
Well, I'll tell you, that team was a culmination of a history of the Pacific Coast League. It was among the charter members when it was founded in 1903 and played straight through all those years, as did Los Angeles and a few other teams. And when it started, it was only a six-team league. But over the years, it became also a part of San Francisco's history. And what I mean by that is that after the 1906 earthquake, when so many things were destroyed by the quake and then the fire, Mr. Ewing, who owned the Oakland Oaks at that time, loaned money to every team in the league that needed it in order to find a place to play and continue the season. The point was really aimed at San Francisco, so the Seals could continue to play and kind of maintain some level of familiarity to the normal lives of the people that were so impacted. And so they, 1 month, May 23rd, 1918, 1 month after the quake, the continuation of the Coast League began. And over the years, the team has left so many heroes and so many memories. I myself am a second-generation Seal fan. My dad was raised in San Francisco and was nuts for that team. So you can see what I inherited.
Yeah, P.J. Dragseth is with us, the 1957 San Francisco Seals, the last year of the Seals. But you're talking about Joe DiMaggio, obviously was a San Francisco Seal, and players
Absolutely.
Were then sold to the major leagues. But I think when I think of it, and it comes across nicely in the book, and that is the surrounding area. Not only the players, which, of course, everyone enjoyed the players and the rivalries of the old PCL, and they played once a week. They played a team for, you know, 7 days and a double.
Right. That was a big part of it.
Yeah, and it was a lot of fun to do that. But it was the stadium. It was the Hams beer.
It was the
bakery. And it was those moments for people in San Francisco for them to enjoy that first moment of walking into a ballpark. So one thing in the book, I like the picture of the old Seal, the mascot, and the statue is actually out at Seals Plaza.
At AT&T Park.
Yeah, so for fans who go out there, you absolutely want to see it. The other thing I like about the book, and it talks about the rivalry with the Oakland Oaks, and PJ, I've said this for years, you know, the Giants play the A's, and, of course, in those days, the Oaks and Seals would play, and they'd have a morning game in one place and an evening game in another, you know, the other city.
Cross the bridge and go to the other guy's park.
I think they should do this. I think they should do it now.
Well, the one thing is they're going to have to put them both in the same league, like the Seals and the Oaks are both in the same league.
Well, interleague allows it to happen.
They play each other regularly. They don't have enough interleague games to generate that much excitement.
Well, no, I think we
talk of Oakland trying to move.
Yeah, I think we do. I think these four games this year were very spirited, and sometimes
they
play
out of 162.
Yeah. That's enough for me. Let's put it that way.
Oh, well, okay. I'll give you that.
Okay. All right. PJ is with us. PJ, your favorite part of the book for someone who's, you know, doesn't know the seals and doesn't know the color of it, what would be interesting to them about picking up the book and your sort of your favorite part of it?
The favorite part of my personal experience, and there's a lot of favorite parts throughout the book, but personally, I love the 1957 team. Boston, who then owned the team since 56, built that team to win as a kind of a last hurrah for the Seals fans who had stuck with the team for so many years. And they were very smart about it. They retained three very favorite and beloved Seals veteran players, Sal Tormina, Nini Tornay, and Bob DiPietro. Then they went out and added a lot of major leaguers like Grady Hatton, Frank Keller, who was a man standing at the plate the day Jackie Robinson stole home in Game 1 of the 55 World Series, Bill Renna, Harry Malmberg, who went on to a long minor league coaching career. And in addition to that, they had manager Flash Gordon. Joe Gordon later went into the Hall of Fame, and coach Glenn Capwright. Then they spiced it heavily with their top rookies. Ken Aspermonte had a nice major league career and became field manager for Cleveland. Marty Keogh, now a 50-year scout and still active with the Cardinals. Haywood Sullivan, later part owner of the Red Sox. Albie Pearson, who was the 1958 American League Rookie of the Year. And infielder Pumpsy Green, who was the first African-American player ever hired by the Red Sox, who was the last major league team to break the color line. In addition to that, we had a left-handed pitcher called Leo Kiley, the Black Cat, because his movements on the mound were so sleek. And he set an all-time league record with 21 wins in relief.
Well,
plus,
let me,
we had Bob Riverboat Smith.
Yeah. Let me say this before we just, you know, go through the whole list of them.
No, that's the end of the list.
All right. What I like about it is, and all these names, you describe everybody, and you describe how they fit into San Francisco.
Right.
And I think that's the best part of it. But the outcome is they win. They win
they
the PCL championship,
did.
And that's the last year of the Seals. And you do a good job of really putting it together. And it's so colorful. And it's one of those books that I tell people you can pick up any page and any part of it. You talk about Dave Righetti's dad, Leo Righetti, who was traded away and was a longtime Seal. So I think you have a good winner here. And you could get it through McFarland Books, correct?
Correct.
All
right. You can get it at Amazon or any of the usual places, too.
All right. Very good. We have a dear friend at the Book Tree in Montclair. And I know, David, we told him about the book, and I think he's going to try to order a couple so you can get it locally here in Montclair in Oakland. But I appreciate you being on. I think you're really captured. I almost can feel the stadium, and I almost can feel George Christopher and Francis McCarty and all the politicians being there. And just Mike Murphy, you mentioned so much about him, who was the bat boy for the Seals. Good job. Very good job, and I appreciate you being on with us.
Well, thank you very much.
Yeah.
It's been a pleasure.
Yeah, very good. Good book. 1957, San Francisco Seals, and as PJ goes through that list of players, and then she describes everybody and how they fit in, and it's very sweet the way she does it through her eyes, so I like it. All right. More coming up. We've got more coming up right here in the Sports Leader.